the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Luke chapter 8 is the passage you asked me to speak on, the parable of the sower. It's a word for everybody. Everybody in this church, wherever you stand before God, whether you're a Christian or not, I believe there's a word for you. There's a word for every single person who God has ever made in this passage. And of course, the passage isn't really about just the parable of the sower. It's the parable of the seed and the soil. Jesus was a storyteller. And the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 8 that he stood up with authority to a vast crowd. You know, Jesus would preach to arena-sized crowds and he would gather people using the medium of the day. The big stars in Jesus' day, of course, were storytellers. There's no movie theatres, there's no pop charts, there's no great gatherings like that. So the big stars were the people who could gather a crowd in these vast amphitheatres or in the open air by telling a great story. Jesus used that medium in order to tell stories with a God twist. Stories you could take on two levels. Like church this morning, of course. You can just sit in bed, watch this online, and it can bounce straight off. Or you can learn the deep things of God from his word. And I believe that this particular parable is particularly relevant and significant for people who are watching today. Seriously, let's pray that happens. Let's pray right now. Lord, I pray as we come to your word together, your holy word that's live and relevant. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us. I pray every one of us, wherever we stand before you, whether we're Christians or not, will be changed by this morning. Bless this word to help me to speak your truth. And by the power of your spirit, do something beautiful this morning. Amen. So Matthew and Mark's gospel have loads of these stories, loads of parables. But Luke's gospel just picks out a few. A few with super significance. And he chooses perhaps the most important of the lot. I say it's the most important of the lot because in Mark's gospel, Jesus says, do you understand this past parable? Well, then you'll be able to understand all parables. There's obviously something of fundamental importance about the parable of the seed and the soil that everybody who is serious about Jesus needs to get. They need to get their head around this story and it will change their lives. As I say, Jesus had mastered ministry. Yes, he knew how to speak to the masses. He could gather 5, 10, 15,000 people on a hillside and just raise his voice and preach the good news and lives could be changed and miracles could happen. But he also knew how to turn his eyes, gaze, his vision away from the masses and pour his life into one or two hurting people. It's the beautiful balance, the twin tracks that is the heart of every fruitful ministry. Is what we're trying to do with Message Live, preach the gospel to the masses, pour our hearts into feeding poor families, side by side, the masses and the ones and twos. I guess Jesus described it as lamp on a stand ministry and salt and yeast ministry, where a little bit goes in and makes a huge difference. More than ever, at these times of this global pandemic, the church needs to master this, how we pick up on all the pandemic, all the needs, the huge tsunami of need that's coming our way on the back of all this, and pour our lives into the ones and twos, but don't back off on preaching the good news. Anyway, Jesus, in Luke chapter 8, tells this story, a story that would be very familiar to this agricultural society. They would have seen men going out sowing seed. They would have seen farmers with a great big bag of seed on the back. And wherever they go, they would scatter the seed. And they would have, before the oxen came in, and ploughed it into the ground. And they would have seen the seed fall on four types of ground. They'd seen it fall on the path, at the side of the field, and watch the birds of the air come and eat it up. They'd have seen it fall on the rock, and witnessed it take root, but without any moisture, wither away. They'd have seen seed fall amongst the thorns, spring up for a bit, but be choked by the thorns. But what they wouldn't have seen is seed falling on good soil and producing A hundredfold harvest, because that's what Jesus said in the parable. He said, some of the seed fell on the path, some of the seed fell on the rock, some of the seed fell on the thorns, and some fell on the good soil and produced a hundredfold harvest. You see, because in Jesus' day, if you had a bumper harvest, and you know, they relied on the harvest, they would sow in the autumn and wait and see whether the conditions were right for a good harvest, and feeding their families would rely on that harvest, being able to have an overflow that they could sell to the communities around so that their society could succeed, basically. Jesus said, if you sow seed into good soil, it can produce a hundredfold harvest. And in Jesus' day, if you could get out the ground 7 to 10 times what you sowed in, i.e. you could see a multiplication of 7 to 10 times, that was party time. That was it wasn't harvest time, it was celebration time. It was more than enough for all your family to be fed, the poor to be blessed, loads to give away to communities around, more than enough to sell, to be super successful and wealthy. The people are like, we've never seen a hundredfold harvest. 7 times will do for us. That's bumper harvest. And then frustratingly, after telling that story, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he didn't even bring an explanation. It was only when the disciples chased him down later on in the day that they got the explanation of what the parable really meant, what God was trying to tell through this story. And there are some things that only the diligent ones get to know from God. Only the ones who will chase God down. Only the one who will pursue him in his word and prayer and seek his face. There are some things. Are you going to be that kind of person today? I'm not going to be distracted by lots of other things. I'm not going to be multitasking and texting and on Facebook. I'm going to focus in now and I'm going to learn the deep things of God. Like those disciples, I'm going to chase Jesus down and say, what are you saying to me through this story? Because one thing's for sure, you're described by one of those types of soil. Every person who's ever lived. I mean, my job, I guess, is that by the time I finish talking today, you know which one you're described by. Are you the person where the seed of the gospel, you know, like the seed is the good news sown out into people's hearts? And is your heart like the path where it's hard-hearted? It bounces off. It's a horrible place to be. It's a place of judgment where God hardens people's hearts who are experiencing him but just resist him. You know, I've run loads of alpha courses in my time and it's amazing. And we always have this Alpha Holy Spirit Day and see God do some marvelous things. People coming to Christ, people getting filled with his spirit and joy breaking out. But there's always one or two people who are just stood there, untouched, unmoved, hard-hearted. It's like the path, the seed that fell on the path. Terrible place to be. Whatever you do, if that's been how your life has been defined thus far, move on from there. That person, i.e. the person who the seed of the gospel just bounces off, is lost. He's heading for a lost eternity without Christ. Don't be that person. You don't need to be. All the other three types of soil described in the parable are Christians, I believe, are people who've actually accepted Christ, but not all of them are producing a bumper harvest. The second type of soil is Jesus called it the rock. I've seen this time and again. You know, that he says this in verse 13. He says, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Seen this again and again, to be honest, as well. You know, excited by Jesus when they first become Christians, but never goes on to real fruitfulness and real multiplication. Dancing around the edges, but never really being filled with the Spirit and joy. They give up too soon when the pressure comes. They blame God as if God didn't promise us in this life you'll have trouble. Christianity is not an easy way. It's a hard path. In fact, Jesus said it's like a hard and rocky road, but it's a hard and rocky road that's heading for eternal life. There is a broad and an easy road, but that road's heading for destruction. I know which road I want to be on. Why are we surprised? Peter said, why are you surprised by this painful trial? As if something strange were happening. Of course, this side of heaven, there's painful trials, there's hardships, there's difficulties that come our way. Don't let them take you out. Let them strengthen you. Allow God to do the work he wants to do. And if you're going through a painful trial at the moment, God wants to come close and give you power to go through. Christianity isn't a way out. It's a way through the rubbish that life throws at us, and life surely will. Don't be like the seed that fall amongst rock. So when a time of testing, you fall away. The third type of soil described in the parable of the seed and the soil is the thorns. And you know what? I believe this is most Christians I know. They're devastating words in a way. Jesus said this, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. It challenges me to the core. In Matthew, Jesus goes on when he tells this story to say the deceitfulness of wealth chokes the word. I think that's most Christians, you know. They don't really mature because the cares and worries and riches of this life choke it. We don't really get to that extravagant, crazy, generous, Jesus-centered life that just pours out on a world in need. We're all about our little worries and our little riches and our little pleasures and miss out on the mighty blessing of being at the bullseye of God's will. I know it's heavy stuff, but if it's you, move from there, because praise God, there is a fourth type of soil. Bible calls it the good soil. Jesus says this, the seed that fell on the good soil stands for those with a good and a noble heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. You see, there's two secrets to successful life. You can have this for nothing. The two secrets are have a good heart and keep going when other people would give up. You know, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are ranging the earth looking for a heart. This morning, even though we're scattered in different houses, the eyes of the Lord are ranging the earth, looking for a heart after him, a heart for those who don't know Jesus, a heart for the poor and the broken, a heart to glorify him in this life, a good heart. The eyes of the Lord range the earth, looking for a heart that completely committed to me, that man or that woman I will strongly support, says the Lord. I can't be the smartest person. I can't be the sexiest person, the best looking person, but I can be the person with the biggest heart. But not just a good heart, the person who perseveres to the end. Perseverance is absolutely key. Did you hear about Winston Churchill going back to his old school to do the speech day after Harrow School, I think it was, you know, after the Second World War, and he was like Britain's most famous man, and they'd really pulled off a coup getting him to do this speech, and he stood up in front of all the students, and basically he stood up and more or less he just said, never, never, never give up, and sat down. And they're like, is that the best you've got, Winston? You know, you're the world's greatest orator. You've driven this nation forward with your powerful words. But the best thing he could give to those young men and women was never give up. And the best thing in some ways I can give to you this morning is never give up. Have a good heart. Keep going. Go after Jesus. Don't give up when others want to sack it off. Go after the Lord. Because I tell you what, the person who has a good heart and keeps going to the end, and keeps going through life, we look back in awe. How could that even happen through a joker like me, through a very ordinary people? All that fruit, not 7 or 10 times blessing that would bless all the neighbourhoods, bless the poor, 100-fold, a supernatural harvest. And it's for you, and it's for me, if we will persevere to the end. Don't you want to be that kind of person? Well, if you do, just repent of loving the riches and pleasures and allowing the cares of this world to just crowd in. if you've sprung up and pressure and aggravation have turned you away from the Lord, you become bitter, ask the Lord to make you better this morning. Ask the Lord to make you that crazy 100-fold harvest person. I just want to pray for you, and then I want to do one more thing. Lord, you know where we stand before you, and if there's a 100-fold harvest, we want it. We want it not just for our church, but for our neighbourhood. We want it for Exeter. Lord, we want you to see you pour out your spirit and we make ourselves available. We want to be seen as people of a good heart who persevere when others would give up. And we choose to fix our eyes on you and fix our eyes on the amazing prize of heaven. Just help us to be generous and extravagant and wildly spirit-filled. Just people who are just overwhelmed with your love and live like it. Fill us with joy and peace, I pray, as we go out. God, give us that crazy 100-fold harvest. Amen. Well, before I finish, I don't just want to address the Christians watching this. I want to address you if you are like that person. Maybe you're watching it with a partner. Maybe you've stumbled on this video. I don't know. God can arrange things in amazing ways. Seen it so many times over the years. If you've stumbled on this video, and honestly, your heart could be described like the path. You've heard the good news, sown in lots of times, but it's always bounced off. You've never allowed it to take root, i.e. you've never accepted Christ into your life. You've never said, Jesus, I want to make you Lord of my life. I want to step down from the throne of my life and put you on the throne. I want to turn away from what's wrong. I believe that you died for me on the cross and that you're alive today, and I want to live for you. And I want to see you face to face and be welcomed into heaven. And you will be, because Jesus said, anyone who comes to me, there's no way I'll turn them away. Jesus is not going to turn you away this morning, but you have to allow the seed of the gospel to take root in your heart. Will you do that this morning? And if that's you, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer that you can join with me and pray to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. I've seen this, like I'm telling you, thousands of times over the last decade, where people pray this simple prayer, wow, it changes everything. Because I've been doing it a long time, I get the privilege of traveling around and meeting those people, and it's so amazing for somebody to say, I was here. It's like I was living in black and white, and my life was dull and boring, and I've come alive in Christ. And yeah, it's not easier, but it's so much better. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, I can help you just by saying a simple prayer. I'll tell you what I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to pray it phrase by phrase. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray it phrase by phrase. That's not easy to say. I'm going to pray, dear Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that you're alive today. Be alive in me, Jesus. And with your help, I'll live all out for you for the rest of my days. I'm sorry for letting you down. I choose you, and I want to produce a harvest for you. Amen. That prayer, honestly, it'll change everything. And if you want to pray it right now, pray it with me, phrase by phrase. Make it your own in your heart and your head to God. Dear Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Please forgive my sins and give me a fresh start. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that you're alive today. Be alive in me, Jesus. With your help, I'll live all out for you for the rest of my days. I want to be somebody who produces a harvest for you. I'm sorry for my sins. I choose you, Jesus. Amen.